My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Nothing is over until we decide it is!
Welcome to the Big Foamy Head. This show we talk about hopped up blues and hopped up beers.
Drama. we're kind of on edge here. Our hearts are aflutter because our hands are shaking because we just had an incident a moment ago. And let us take you back 15 minutes in time and relive it with us.
If you keep this shit up, I'm going to go out there and firebomb your... Oh, look out!
Oh, shit. Oh, I thought you were kidding.
No, I won.
So that was not alcohol abuse.
Yeah, the bottle was empty.
It could have been up. And why it was such an oh shit moment? Because it was some fantastic beer from Boulder Beer Company, the Mojo Rising, right?
I think I would have cried had that thing been full. Because
if you guys would have gotten any of it, that would have been a waste.
It's kind of like that Crown advertisement you see all the time. Ever seen a grown man cry? You know, it's a broken Crown bottle, you know?
Yeah.
So
we're drinking.
It wouldn't have stopped me from telling you how much I'm enjoying it, though.
Yeah, your bottle is still intact, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, then you can read the label.
Yeah, because we don't have a label anymore. It's all on the floor everywhere.
So, well, the good news is that our friends at Root Beer, they put the same thing on the label, on their website as it's on the label. Commercial description, only 120 precious barrels were brewed, adding more than half a ton of extra malt and twice the amount of Amarillo hops. So prepare yourself for a full sensory explosion. The double dry hopped addition elevates the grapefruit-like aroma and flavor to an outrageous intensity, while the added malt raises the alcohol level from 7 all the way to 10% by volume. And when I say that, I mean there is a Mojo that they sell. It's a Mojo IPA.
Right.
This is the Mojo Rising, which is more.
Yeah, the alcohol has risen in the double dry hop. And so this is a double IPA, a.k.a. Imperial IPA style.
You know, you can stick your nose in the glass and just smell the grapefruit and the citrus flavor, aroma. I'm a big grapefruit guy. I love to drink grapefruit. I love to eat grapefruit. And then when I taste a beer like this, it's just really, really good.
I love that Amarillo hop.
I'm a grapefruit fan. And the Amarillo is kind of new on the scene, but it really is stepping in and being an all-around. It's got that citrus, not so much pine, but citrus. But it's got a little earthiness to it that it, I don't know if earthiness is the right word. It's like a fuller flavor.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, the Amarillos are, and I remember James Spencer kind of introduced us to that way back when he sent us a couple of beers from his Amarillo Ale.
Which is a wonderful recipe.
Yeah.
Now, when they make this, you said it was how many barrels?
120. Precious.
Very limited.
Now, when was this batch brewed, would you say? I mean...
Oh, you know what? I went to the release party. It wasn't too long ago. It was October.
I got a jagged piece of glass. It might have something on it. Let me see here.
No, there's no date on the bottle. I was actually looking it over. We had this year's.
What's going to happen to the prices when they brew this again? Are they going to head on up?
Well, they're going to have to.
But they are going to have to. But this is one of those things, you know, I'm honestly, and the reason I wanted us to, I was saying earlier, let's drink some hops.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it. We did a warm-up. We had a Sierra Nevada Fresh Harvest. We had a, what is this?
A Burton's.
Burton Ale, an English-style IPA, which was like, oh, God, why are we wasting our time?
Pretty medium.
It was nice. It was a tasty
mediocre
beverage, but we were looking for the hop bite, right? And this is good. This is a great beer to start off with.
You know, we talked about the hop prices, and they are extreme. They're ripped me over the barrel. But I was talking to Peter Archer from Avery Brewing the other day, and he was saying that it's actually the price of malt that's killing them.
Really?
They were paying 19 cents a pound for their base malt, and now it's up to 34, 35 cents a pound.
Wow.
So it's like doubled. That means the price of, with the price of the beers that they're brewing, they use a hell of a lot more hops or malts.
I was going to say,
hops,
a lot more hop, a lot more malt than hops, for sure.
Yeah, so.
Well, now,
there's a double whammy going on right now.
One of the things that, and we've got this coming up on a future show, we're still trying to pull the audio together, but I wanted to talk about just the perception of hoppy beers by the general public, right? I mean, we are real sensitive to the hop prices and what's going to happen because as confirmed hop heads, we want the bite. We want to get that real hop smack in your face. But for people who are new to beer and who are kind of like getting into this, when you kind of lead somebody into that, you're bringing them up from something like a Bud or a Miller or some real, you know, very little, honestly, IBUs into something. And it seems like everybody seizes on that whole IBU thing. Oh, look, it's a number.
Well, you don't want to go Don Imus on them. I mean, shock them. You know?
No, you don't. But it's something like if you give somebody a scale, right? Here's a scale from 0 to 10. Then they can just, it just seems to give them a range. Says, okay, well, I'm going to try a 1. I'm going to try a 3. So they see these IBUs and they think, beer has a number. And we talked about this, Rick. I think we touched on a little bit on the last show. And especially with these beers that we're drinking now, these beers, this particular one, this Mojo Rising, probably has a very high IBU. However, it is a double IPA, so it's got an ass load of malt jacking it up too, which actually we've got this nice hot bite, right? But it's not like twist your face up, arrogant bastard style, you know, punchy.
It's got a good balance.
It's got a great balance. Yeah. And I would liken this, you know, another beer that's kind of like this is Dogfish Head 90, right? Good balance. But what the balance is the balance between extreme hops and extreme malts and alcohol.
Yeah.
It's not for the weak of heart.
No.
Yeah, I just brewed a Dogfish 90, and ProMash, the computer or the software I use for brewing, was calculating the IBUs up around 230, 240.
Really?
You know, some insane amount. 100 is the highest perceptible by human beings, apparently. But I sent my last batch, a bottle, to a beer judge, and he said it was cloyingly sweet.
Yeah.
So even though it has these intense IBUs, amazing amounts of IBU, you just throw hops in there, you know, the whole time you're throwing hops in. And he said it was cloyingly sweet.
And it is, okay. It's kind of like, it's a balance that, you know, really, so the IBUs then are almost a worthless number to judge what it's going to taste like. In my perception.
You know, that's why I like Flying Dog. Have you ever noticed on the box?
It's got a hoppy and a malt. It's got a little X on there, so you got kind of an indicator. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. I love that.
I like that.
And I tell people that I talk to that are novice in the craft beer industry and wanting to branch out and try things, when they find a beer that they like and they know it's a hoppy beer or a malty beer, that they look at that classification on the Flying Dog and direct people that direction.
Yeah.
And they've come back and thanked me.
But, you know, there's nothing out there that, okay, IBUs, everybody who brews a beer looks at that as an indicator. But at the end of the day, it's not going to tell you how it tastes.
Yeah.
There needs
it's
to be.
It's a poor measure.
It is.
Well,
it,
now, the Flying
correct,
Dog, the Flying Dog classification is for taste.
It is.
Amount.
Okay. But what would be
ideal?
The
IBU, like you said, is basically how many hops are you slamming in there?
Yeah. I would like to see an official indicator that goes from malty to hoppy that people could agree upon and say, my beer is right there.
But you know
right.
The problem with that is it's so subjective because
it
what's
is
hoppy to you and me and you know people that have been drinking this type of beer for so long. A beginner comes in and they're going to go, wow, God, this is way too strong.
Yeah, okay. That's like hot sauce, right?
Yeah.
Scoville units. You know that a bell pepper is nothing like a habanero pepper, and a bell pepper's like 20 Scoville, and a habanero's 20,000.
If you get people that eat them every day, they can eat habaneros like candy.
Exactly right. Okay, so how do you do that where you've got a visual indicator? That's where I think somewhere in there, there has got to be something because you've got the malt balance with the hop balanced. The known quantity, the alpha S, is in there that you should be able to come up with something that says, this beer is going to be in this range. You and I might not think it's as hoppy, but to somebody who was, you know, we're trying to wean off a MGD or PBR, God help us.
Or Iron City.
Yeah. That you know what I'm saying? That they may say, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, such and such. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about this beer. What do you guys think?
Oh, man, I love it. This is one of the more perfect beers. I'm liking the Dogfish Head. Mike's doing the dance.
I'm doing the happy dance.
He's doing the happy dance. This is a, it does make you do the happy dance. This is really, really good. This is, to me, the Dogfish Head 90-like. It's really tasty.
You know, like I said,
it's perfectly clear. They do a good job with this. These guys filter their beers.
Yeah, I'm a grapefruit guy, and I just love it. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah.
Nice, persistent, white, foamy head, pillowy. Very clear, quite reddish. It's not quite coppery.
Yeah, it's a little, it's got a little orange and a little tan tints. Mm-hmm. What are you, what kind of glass are you using?
Pint glass.
We are using.
I didn't go with the tulip.
We are using an extended tulip. I don't know what you call this. It's kind of more vertical. It's like a tulip, but it's higher, and it's got lacing everywhere. This foam is sticking. It's not sliding down the glass at all. So it's got head retention.
I like to swirl it a little bit and then stick your nose in the glass.
Oh man, you really
grapefruit city.
Yeah, it's a great nose to this beer. So this is a very enjoyable beer, and this is one that. Man, great.
Let's tell the guys you liked it.
Absolutely. So why don't we take a minute? We've got some hopped up blues here. We got Memphis in May, and who knows? It may be May when you're hearing this. But one of the artists performing is Doyle Bramhall. Doyle's been around, and we played him on the show before. He's one of those that's kind of like been on the scene forever.
Is he hopped up?
He is hopped up. Stevie Ray collaborated on a bunch of things, and back in the day
they meant stoned, right?
Yeah, buddy. And
the hophead.
When you listen to the song, see if you don't see a little Stevie Ray influence here.
All right, so this is a little Doyle Bramhall. We got a couple of him, so I'm gonna start with "The Moon Is Crying."
Oh, All right, so that was little Doyle Bramhall, and what'd you say, Mike? Is that like the sky is crying, the moon?
Yeah, a lot of Stevie Ray influence there.
And that was one of those cool songs that best listened to, half in the bag, cruising at an acceptable rate of speed at night down a highway.
Why an acceptable rate of speed?
Because, you know, you're cruising. You're not you're not in a hurry. Right.
I usually do it 5 miles over, but, you know.
Okay, five miles maybe over, 10. That's acceptable. Yeah. That's acceptable.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, it's a cruising song, and it had that cool kind of Elvis in the Stairwell vibe to it. And just so you know, right, we're talking with you. We got Doyle Bramhall because he's going to be one of the artists in Memphis in May, which, of course, is our annual event that we all go to and just have way too good a time. And he's coming along with a million other people. But that album that it was off of, and I don't have the name in front of me, was nominated for a 2007 Contemporary Blues of the Year. And we got a couple more coming up. And it's kind of a cool progressive. And I will say one more thing. The other reason it sounds like that, one of the collaborators on that was Nick Lowe. And if you know Nick Lowe, he's into that whole reverb, wah-wah. You said got a little fuzz.
Got all that fuzz in it, and I like that.
That's Nick Lowe loves that stuff. So
it reminds me of Black Keys, and they do that. The Black Keys, they like that
kind
fuzz,
of a raw
reverb.
Sort of power chords and stuff. Yeah. So good stuff, and we've got some raw kind of power chord beer.
Yes, we do.
We've gone home style.
Homebrew.
Homebrewed beer. And because of what we were talking about with the beers that we're drinking right now, we're sampling some of Mike's IPA.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And Rick, you've had that, but you've got some IPA from our friend Phil, right?
From Phil at My Life as a Foodie and Dude Night, which we might resurrect eventually, podcasts. 20th Anniversary Imperial IPA, Anderson Valley, Boonville, Mendocino County, California.
Wait, he's got stats and everything on, huh? And we just got, oh, it's Mike's beer.
Yeah, it's Mike's beer.
Well, I don't know that I have stats, but I have stats. Drink another beer, Rick. Brewed from only the finest hops, malted barley, yeast, and pristine Boonville mineral water. That's interesting.
That's pretty good.
Wow. Mike's we actually have a Boonville, Mississippi, pretty close by.
Mike's was brewed from stuff he bought at Mid-South Malls.
Yeah.
And he's using genuine Memphrico water.
Yeah, I just threw it in and, use that Memphis Light Gas and Robbery water.
That's right. That's
you
a good
stuff.
You guys
have some of the best water in the country, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, we do. We know we do.
We do. We
that
have that fine.
Something else.
We have that fine artesian well water.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's for sure. But this is, okay, so we're drinking this. Mike, do you remember what kind of hops put in this?
Oh, gosh. A beer kit.
Okay. Whatever came in it.
Yeah, whatever came in the beer
kit. All right, so looking at
remember.
It, it also has really good lysing. And we were talking about this is more on the pine side of the hop fence, right?
Not a lot of citrus
at all. A darker beer. So I know you had a little bit of specialty malts in it. And it's got kind of a, not a burnt sugar, a toffee, little tiny toffee taste at the end. But it's got some hops. You know, you're drinking a hoppy beer. This is a good balance. It's kind of a ping pong. I got sweet. I got hops.
Yeah.
It's a good beer. It's a very good beer. And this is like one of your, third beer you ever made? Something like that?
I think this was the second one. Second? The Hefeweizen, then this was the IPA.
This is very
second
good.
Second one was the IPA.
It's from an extract?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a homebrew perspective, of course, that's something that's kind of interesting seeing how people go that, I don't know if Hefeweizen's like everybody's starter beer, seems to be a lot, but an IPA seems to be right up there on the radar, right?
Yeah.
People who want to make a beer want to make a hop monster, right? So this is really good, though, and this is one I remember you were doing this and fighting the hop boil because the thing would, boil over.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things with the hop additions, I guess, that people don't realize is that adding hops to beer is not an easy thing to do. You got to watch this, right?
Yeah, you got to pay attention to what you're doing.
So do you know what kind of hops are in Phil's beer, Rick?
It says the finest. Well, let me read this to you. It goes, it's kind of hard to see. This Imperial IPA is loaded with excessive amounts of malts and 20 separate additions of the finest Pacific Northwest hops. It's very peppery. It's got a nice taste. It's a very unique taste. It's almost kind of a, I want to say a tiny bit sour. It tastes like very much like fresh hops, kind of Hallertau.
Did you say hops. 27 hop addition?
20 separate
additions. Separate. Okay. So he was like tossing them in every couple of minutes, right?
Right. That's kind of like the Dogfish Head where they're continuously hopping.
All right. But and you're drinking an Imperial IPA. So really you're staying true to the style we started with, an Imperial. And
yeah, I have to give kudos to Phil for sending this. It's a wonderful beer.
All right. And we just poured one of my homebrew IPAs, and this is one that I know that I tossed a little apricot in at the end, because I like how apricots kind of smooth the finish of the IPAs. And this is one where I used Columbus and Cascade, and I misread the directions and did it ass backwards. So I did my initial hop addition at the beginning, which is where you're going to pull the bitterness and a lot of the alpha acids and flavors. I put the wrong hop in. And I said, oh, shit. And I threw some more in. So
shit moment.
I had an oh, shit moment, and I threw. So I doubled up on my hop addition at the very beginning. So it probably sucked a lot more alpha acids out. And this one, it's got a little.
Adding more IBUs.
Yeah, adding more IBUs. But the head on this is whiter than Mike's beer. Just a little bit of color. And it's sustaining itself. And
it's
I will
good color in the beer, though.
And remember, when I popped the top, Mike was kind of worried about his. He put it in a grocery bottle, and he popped it, and it's like, oh, wasn't much of
a
pop.
Wasn't a lot of pop.
But it poured a nice head. On the other hand, mine, I popped it open, and it was the money shot. This is a low-rent porn film. I mean, it was all over the place. I was like holding it.
It almost looked like Johnny Wadd doing
it. It was horrible. It was everywhere. The last half a bottle. So now we've got this thing, and aroma-wise, yeah, it's a big bottle.
It's giant wide homes.
Yeah. It's an extra tall bottle. But it's a darker beer than Mike's. It's cloudy. I didn't filter it. I didn't do anything, you know, because personally, I don't care. Let's just get it in the bottle. And it doesn't have as much a nose as Mike's did. Mike, you could smell some of it. And I don't know. Well, Mike, you're drinking it. What are you getting?
I like it.
Dick, I'll do a survey. How many beers a year do you brew?
You know, it varies. I'd say about four.
Four. That's what I was guessing, too.
And this one is it's a little lighter, I guess, than Mike's, but it's got what you were talking about earlier, Mike. This lingers on the finish.
Mm-hmm.
A little more than yours did.
Yeah, a little more bite. Mm. A little more bite in the hop.
Which I attribute to my screwing up. Because I added apricots to kind of cut it.
It's good.
Yeah, so when you first drink it, you don't really get a lot of hop bite at the beginning. But the finish, this one leaves you, you know you've been drinking
kinda
some
peppery.
Of them.
You got a little peppery to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's something like Rick, your one you're drinking with Phil's beer. The pepper is something that hops, and I've noticed this when I use it to cook, like when I use a pale ale, it's got like that little kind of peppery taste, right?
I like it.
Yeah, I mean they're both good. We're enjoying both our home brews.
What do you?
It's just getting better and better as I drink it. One of the things that Mike and I were just talking about during the break was. You know, people are getting more efficient with hop additions now. Instead of just saying, you know, this one is promoting 20 hop additions during the boil, do you really need all that? You know,
right.
Is it more efficient to add all your hops at once and get all the bitterness out, and then at the last 5 minutes add your aroma? Yeah, I think you kind of get rid of a little complexity, but so I hope that they don't have to do that. I think that the continuous additions and the, you know, smaller additions during the boil is going to add complexity to your beer. I don't know. Maybe the
Well, okay, look, if you drive a car that uses regular
or unleaded or premium or diesel, you're going to pay more or less depending on it, right? So I think the same thing's going to kind of flesh out for beer. If you want to have that richness and depth and complexity with the hops and you appreciate it, you'll go a little bit more to pay for it. I don't have a problem with that myself. I like to know I get what I pay for, mm-hmm. versus I'd be kind of pissed off if I bought a beer and turned out it was 25% ethanol. You know, I wouldn't like that at all.
No, I wouldn't like that either. But, it probably tastes like petroleum products.
It probably tastes like Budweiser.
But when you get it, when you're trying to brew a beer and you're trying to create a certain style, I think you're trying to you got to be real careful and follow that style. And there's some tried and true recipes out there that will let you attain that style. But I think this hop shortage is probably going to really get everybody creative and substituting this and substituting that.
It is, yeah.
Putting them in at certain times and putting less of this and more of that at different times.
Like we're talking about, being more efficient. It doesn't reduce the art. It makes it more of a challenge.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is a bad thing.
And we always say beer is subjective. What you feel is a hoppy and malty and
so all that good stuff. Look at it this way. There are a lot more people who go to museums than there are painters. So it's going to be one of those things that people are going to, you know, this beer is more or less a palette of flavors. And there's many different canvases. You're going to paint many different things. And this year is not going to define what you are. We have many years to go. The hop quote shortage going to go by. We're going to have a better harvest over the next year, the next 2 years. It's all going to balance out. And I think all we're going to see is more people like, you know, I can't remember who said it, but people now are demanding more taste, more flavor, more accountability, right, from their beers.
I said it.
That was you? Okay.
Yes. I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying, though? I'm looking forward to seeing. And so I'm okay with what we're doing. You know, we can, we'll, what I'm drinking, the Mojo Rising, we started with, oh man, fantastic beer.
Yeah, great beer.
I haven't heard that little saying about the museum, though.
I just made that up.
That's a new one. I love
that
it.
That was me.
Now, what do you call those? Parables or what are they?
Analogy?
Those little snippets.
Analogy? Homily? Parable? I don't know.
Metaphors.
Metaphors. I will play the
metaphors.
There you go. I've been drinking card.
Well, okay, so that's a nice metaphor. There are more people that go to museums than painters.
That's right.
And something you got to realize too. I've noticed a lot of people are looking. I've been out there on the internet, and a lot of people are buying rhizomes and growing their own hops and things like that.
That's all they can freaking talk about, man.
Yeah, but I think that's some of the really cerebral arty types.
Well,
I mean,
these
are the guys, the creators.
I think once all those kind of come into being and whatnot, that's got to ease the demand on hops. And
yeah,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes. And hey, you know what happens when people start growing stuff? Things start morphing into other things. And,
yeah.
And you never know. Somebody might create a new hop. Or I think this is a great opportunity, and I think you'll see some changes down the road.
All right. Well, I want to segue for a minute because we're coming to the end of the second segment and preparing for the infamous third segment. But something that I just wanted to touch on. Our friends over at Craft Beer Radio.
Oh, those guys.
Those guys, Jeff and Greg.
Yeah.
And these guys, because we're talking here, and you know we like a good beer, and we talk as authoritative as we think we are. But those guys,
NASCAR.
But those guys are, I mean, they are nothing but a beer authority. Respect their authority.
Yeah, they've got the finely tuned palate and the vocabulary and the...
The vocabulary. Good God.
Describe it, yes.
And I was pleased to see, though, you know, because sometimes, honestly, you listen to them, and if you kind of walked into the middle of it, you get a little NPR action going on, okay? I mean, they're, like, getting down and describing the beer.
They're sniffing,
swirling, spitting, hawking.
Yes.
Okay. So I listened the other day, because you told me to,
Their April 1st show. If you hadn't heard it, you got to go listen to it.
And they do an April Fool's Day show every year.
So. They do. And this is Chasers, right? They took on a little Southern flavor. It was good. It was really good.
Their show.
It did. It's like, oh my God, you got some character, you got some talent, charisma. Come on, baby, do this some more.
And they're drinking bourbon.
They're drinking some little Jack Daniels. They were
slamming.
Start off with.
They were slamming some stuff.
No, it was really cool to hear them do that because you know. I mean,
Mike, it was an homage.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the other guys said, hey, is this like a Big Foamy Head parody or something? So it's like, oh, well, that's cool. You know, we like hearing that. Of course, the other way around, we're incapable of doing a Northern accent. We can't do that.
I can do Wisconsin.
Hey, I can say use guys.
Yeah, use guys. Hey, use guys. I can't do it. I wasn't raised that way. No, it was really cool,
anyway,
though.
I met Jeff in person, and great guy, and congratulations on his new baby.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got a wildly successful show, so.
Yeah, no, good stuff, good stuff. And we need to say nice things also about our friend at the BN, the Beer News Network, or the Beer, the Brewing Nation. Network, Brew Nation. Good God, I will never ever get that right.
Beer Nation, that's it.
I mean, we're drinking homebrew, so we need to throw some of these things out, though, that there's a lot of people who drink beer and who do podcasts on the beers that they like, but, you know, we got to recognize the homebrew crowd.
I'd like to thank Johnny Max and them for tasting my beer, my Oktoberfest on their show.
And your Perry.
Well, I don't think they've done the Perry yet. They did Oktoberfest.
Huh? Yeah.
They talked about your Perry.
Oh, I hadn't heard that show yet. Okay.
You got to listen. Yeah. Okay. You didn't send them beers, you got to listen.
I mean, there's a lot. There's
I heard
a lot
the
of
Oktoberfest, and I appreciate the kind words.
So something for our listeners who are really more into, okay, tell me a good beer to drink, and we're off on, you know, we got to cover our homebrew segment, too.
But going back to the Beer Nation, those guys are fantastic. You know, they're maybe 5 to 10 times the size of us as far as our listenership goes. I know there's some crossover, but I really do appreciate them.
Well, but it just goes to show, though, that the amount of people in the world, or in the U.S. at least, that are into good beer. Mm-hmm. Well, if they can't buy it, they're going to make it, by God. You know? Yeah. So, more stuff.
Both.
Yeah, good stuff. And so we got some more good beer and some more good blues, and I got another Doyle Bramhall, and this is kind of an unusual one, and I got a little Peter Gabriel vibe from this.
I like Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, and this is called Big, a little Doyle Bramhall.
It's gonna be big for someone, and that somebody might.
And that was some more Doyle Bramhall, big, kind of weird little Peter Gabriel vibe. And the kind of, it stopped. And then he did his little kind of like rap thing. It was very cool, very innovative. You never realize that guy, born in 1949, that means he's pushing 60.
Well, I didn't realize
looking right, he's 58. But you know what? I think talent knows no age. So, and speaking of talent.
Was that hopped up blues?
Yeah, that was some serious hopped up Texas style blues. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you thought that was some fuzz in the first one, this song, if you skip through it, you bastards, go back and listen to it again. That was a really cool, an interesting song. Real fuzzy and just all the different genres you could hear in that. And our next beer that we've got. It's got a lot of ska, a little ska going. I think there might have been a little ska in the Doyle Bramhall song.
I love their artwork. I've talked to these guys on like five or six different occasions, and they're into the ska music scene. I don't know a lot about that.
Ska's great. A lot of horns.
Being old on that one, you know. But these guys are into it, and they've got the best artwork of any beer bottles I've ever seen.
So we're looking at the Nefarious Tin Pin Imperial Porter, which means we got some jacked up hops, but we're not really tasting them with this one, especially with some of the malts that are in here. Holy moly, jeez.
And you got that ugly-ass skeleton guy on the front. That's pretty wicked, too.
That's the mark of a good beer. Whenever you get a skeleton.
Yeah,
skeleton. You know why I sent this to you guys?
Yeah?
Because it looks like something Dick would do as far as art.
I'm all about the skulls.
Yeah. Well, no, not. It just looks like some of your artwork.
Yeah, it's a very cool label.
And if you could only get a gold tooth in there, it could be a Memphis beer.
Yeah, a little bling around the bony neck there.
It could be a Memphis beer.
Now, I tell you what, though. If I had blind tasted this, I'd be really hard pressed to say this is a porter. It's got so much flavor.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's just like popping with the. I'm reading the Rate Beer commercial description. King of the Alley, this Imperial Porter reigns supreme with a mighty 8% alcohol by volume and 60 IBUs. Creamy, chocolatey, sweet with hints of coffee and Bing cherry. The Nefarious is wickedly outrageous, and I think that is an accurate description.
Pretty close.
It's popping with these chocolate and coffee. It's a really, it's like a sweet, almost desserty sort of beer.
But to me, it's dry. It's
with
really dry.
Cherries.
It finishes. It finishes dry. Bam, gone. And I do get a little of that cherry twang at the end. And it's like, you know, the unwelcome visitor. Nope, not this one. It's gone. It's like here I am. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of here. Good stuff, I think that's the dry part you're talking about.
Yeah, right? it just doesn't it doesn't hang around. It's gone, like you said. It's more like a stout than a porter.
I'll see about setting this up for a full show with these guys, because I really do like ska, and they're kind of funky. I don't know if they've got a wide reach, but there's about four or five really good breweries in Durango, and we'll see about bringing them on.
I almost wish I'd had this one after or before trying all those hoppy beers.
So if you were looking at this, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's 60 IBUs.
Yeah.
That's a healthy IBU.
I'm wondering if all those hoppy beers that I had didn't wreck my palate for this
one. Well, you know, we took a little break, went out, cooked us some chicken.
And why are you cooking chicken, Dick?
Just...
Feed the family.
Good, and get my skills up for the barbecue contest, right?
That's right, because you're now a member of a barbecue team, right?
Yeah. Yet another barbecue team. But
Big Foamy Head's all about the beer, blues, and barbecue.
There you go.
Amen, sister. Preach it, sister.
That's right. You go, girl.
Amen.
Now, this is I'm loving this beer, because I am not, whenever, and it's me, I guess, I've had so many weak-ass, limp, wristed flip boy tickle with a feather porter.
Well, why the hell are you drinking Coors then?
That, but you know what I'm saying though? I mean, porter to me has not been as robust, right? This is a robust up at you beer. I love this. This is, it talks to you, and in a good way. It's an interesting man, I mean, the it's got a lot chocolate, of flavor. I really am getting, you know, whenever I hear somebody say, oh, hints of raisin or bingers, I say, ah, bullshit. You know, you're like throwing out words. I got a little cherry pop at the end of this. Very nice. I'm really enjoying this.
It's got great flavor.
I have a really hard time with it being a porter, though.
I'm looking at the bottle. It says, we use the finest malt, hops, yeast, water, and love.
That's it. It's all about the love.
Is that anything like the Hot Monkey Love?
It's got some love.
It's got some Hot Porter Love.
Is that some Hot Monkey Love or Hot Porter Love?
I guess that what you were saying, Mike, that was the finish. And I guess at the end of the day, the porters and the stouts are still using the specialty malts, the coffees and stuff, right? This is less coffee, more chocolate, and that little cherry twang at the end. And it's, but it gets out of here, right? Yeah. You said it's dry, but I think on the finish, it's like
a smack.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. It has no glass retention.
Anyway, dear listeners, go look at the Scott website. They got some great bottle artwork. The artwork on the bottles is just the coolest stuff I've ever seen.
This like Marvel comic. I mean, it's some super cool artwork.
And then the wax on
the wax. Yeah, the cap there,
kind of like the maker's mark.
It's a bitchin' bottle.
Yeah, it is good.
And it's one thing to be a bunch of, you know, all show and nothing in the bottle. Now, this Rick, is a total package.
Have you been to see these guys?
No, I haven't been down to Durango. There's like four breweries that I really want to check out because they all have rocking stuff. It's, you know, I got to imagine Durango's a pretty small town, so probably they're all on four corners of one street, you know.
Uh-huh. And we have to point out, this is Durango, Colorado. Durango's Texas.
Durango, Texas is pretty big. Yeah.
So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Durango, Colorado.
Yeah.
So this is some really, I'm really impressed by this. I mean, and like you were talking about, you know, we could have wrecked our palates, right?
Yeah.
Because we had some hop bombs and we continue to drink some hops during the break.
Yeah.
So this beer is really presenting itself well. I'm loving this. It's good stuff.
All right, let's do some timeless stuff. The beer I gave.
Okay.
Cue the music. And I'm assuming this is self-written, written by Rick.
Yeah, you wrote it, right? Well, you're assuming, weren't you there when it occurred?
I wrote this during the break, and I'm hoping it's going to come true. Ode to the Tigers. I has a basketball Jones. Go Tigers, go go. We're assuming the Tigers are going to win tomorrow.
So. That's right. We're forecasting the future. So we might be right. We might be wrong.
By the time you listen to this, I'm either an idiot or I was dead right.
Yeah. You got a 50-50 chance there.
Hey, my son picked a basketball bracket in the NCAA tournament, and it was ideal for my company. We're kind of a small company here in the United States, and there was only 19 of the company got in on it. But I was so busy that week, I just went ahead and turned it over to my son, who's 12 years old, and he picked Memphis to win.
Yeah.
And he was the only one out of 19
that
picked Memphis to win.
Because they were a long shot.
Yeah, the majority had North Carolina, and then some had Kansas, but he was the only one to pick Memphis to win.
And of course, UCLA... yesterday, looking back in time, I mean, they've shut down everybody. UCLA, UNLV, and all those guys.
Yeah.
I learned this yesterday. I watched the tail end of the game because I'm not a basketball guy, but I watched this because the whole Tiger fever, the whole town, you know, they run you out on the rail if you didn't support them. They won, and yesterday they set a record.
Oh, yeah.
38 games. Yeah. No one has done. It's always been 37 games.
Mm-hmm.
They eclipsed it by one. Most games won in a season. And I watched this, and of course, you know, I'm not a guy that watches a lot of basketball.
Especially NCAA.
Yeah. But I watched, and you could really tell the difference between the teams. And it was like watching, I mean, it was night and day. It's like Bush League and versus a well-oiled machine.
Well,
and
I was
really impressed.
You need to watch the next game.
Because tomorrow night.
Kansas is very similar to Memphis. I mean,
they're a machine.
They've got four or five really good guys. And Memphis has about eight really good guys. So what you're going to see is a really good close game, probably all the way through.
Tomorrow night is going to be an epic game.
If any team has a letdown, that's probably going to be the team that'll lose. And basketball is kind of a game of runs. You have a really good run, you get the lead, and then the other team kind of has a 3 or 4 minute run, and then they might take the lead, and it's just a game of runs. And I think what you're going to see is maybe Memphis has the talent and the depth to sustain a victory over Kansas, but you know, you never know. It's basketball.
Of course, this will all be past tense by the time this airs. So it'll be really interesting to see.
Well, I am predicting Memphis to win, and it's not because I'm a Memphis homer.
Neither. Me neither. I could give a rat's ass about a basketball game, but based on what I saw, they had it together. The worst player on the team really had it together. So I was impressed by what I watched in the last time. The only last time I was interested in this was back in the days of Keith Lee.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, think about this. You start with 64 teams in the March Madness tournament, right?
And we're 64 teams. And we're down to two.
And we're down to the championship. Let's go back to the Final Four, where you had Kansas, and they were playing I'm drawing a blank. Kansas played North Carolina.
Ask me about women's gymnastics. I was watching that earlier.
But
it wasn't the North Carolina Gamecocks, as the other team.
Yeah, you got North Carolina Tar Heels. Okay.
Tar Heels.
Do you realize Kansas had them down like 40-12? Do you realize that?
No.
Yeah, and Kansas.
I didn't watch it.
And Nebraska. North Carolina came back all the way
to four points. Yeah.
And they ended up losing by like 10 or 12 or whatever.
You know, I've always heard that the game is decided in the last few minutes.
Sure.
You can't really predict the outcome.
That's right.
There's a lot, so much give and take. And, of course, when you get to the professional leagues, it gets even worse, right? Much of those huge numbers, right?
But, you know, right now I'm predicting a Memphis win. Honestly, we might be eating crow next week or whatever, but, hey, maybe. Who cares? It's all fun and games.
All right, we'll see. And, it's an interesting time to be around. We got great beer, great sports, great barbecue,
great chicken,
everything, great chicken.
All right, just one more time. Ode to the Tigers. I has a basketball. Jones, go Tigers, go, go. That's my high kick.
Yeah. I didn't count the syllables. I'm assuming you're there.
I counted them out.
All right, so
you the man.
All right. So, great stuff here. And, of course, obviously the beer has had its way with us. We've digressed all over the place. Great beers. All right. For what we've had, we had Counting Them Down. We started off with the Mojo Rising from Boulder Beer Company. We segued into a little homebrew action. We had My IPA, Mike's IPA, and Phil's Imperial IPA.
Actually, Anderson Valley Brewing Company.
I thought it was Phil.
No, he sent it to me, but it was Anderson Valley.
Oh, well, see, I'm sitting here like thinking Phil made a really good beer and wrote all this stuff. It wasn't even him.
Damn, Phil.
Okay, we still love his show, though. That's right. We wound it up with the Nefarious 10 Pin. We can't pick a beer that was tops because they were all different.
They were all good.
They were all good, all unique in their own way, and
I have one last promotional item going to the Boulder Strong Ale Festival April 11th and 12th. This will probably be out after that, but if you were there, good to see you. If not, sorry you missed it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Damn, I hate to miss it.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Good beer, and looking forward to our Memphis in May and more good stuff coming your way soon.
Enjoy your chicken.
Yeah, see you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
These are the eyes that never knew how to smile till you came into my life. And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night. Soul of which you've taken control. Can't you see I'm trying to show love is right? if you're anywhere inside.
Anywhere inside.
And these are the lips that can't help calling your name in the middle of the night.